Welcome to the Spoken Words. I'm Ella, and my co-host is coming.
I'm Amanda.
Hello, Amanda.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing great.
That's good.
Talking about the English department. That's always fun.
No, I thought we might just not do that this time.
It's interesting.
You know?
It's interesting.
Because it's the English department show.
I feel like that's all we've talked about lately. I mean, make it postmodern and...
There is no one truth.
Yeah. This is good.
Oh, postmodern.
This is good.
It's my favorite.
I can tell.
Yeah, I love it.
I know.
Anyway, so we'll talk about the really big news that just rocked the English department world a few hours ago.
It's not that hard.
Later. But we're going to open with sort of a throwback to a few weeks
throwback
ago.
Throwback Tuesday
to the Sherman Alexie event that we've been talking about. Without actually saying anything interesting or doing any research for a while now. But I'm here to tell you, we actually have content this time.
We do?
Yeah. I sat down with Ping, who is one of the professors in the English department. She's creative writing. And she was really the impetus behind Sherman Alexie coming to campus. And so I talked with her a little bit about how that was set up. I talked to her about some of the classes she's teaching, and then she just shared some of her opinions on the concept of creative writing in general, which is really interesting. It's not a super long interview. I think it's about 9 minutes or so. It kind of jumps right in, though. So the first question I asked was just for her to explain how the Sherman Alexie event kind of happened. So we will just kind of move into that interview, pre-recorded earlier today in her office.
It's very exciting.
It's pretty exciting.
Have fun.
I first heard of Sherman actually from my publisher, Robert Herschel.
Oh, yeah, and he was at the event, too.
Press, yeah. And so he's... Hang Loose, this is a small press, you know, located in Brooklyn. And it has published many really great poets and writers. And Sherman actually was there. Published their first, his first book with them, and then all of his poetry books. And so in the 90s, yeah, 99, Robert Herschel published my translation. That's when I heard, that's when and where I met Ha Jing, another Chinese great poet and writer, and Sherman.
Okay.
And, so every time I go to New York, then I moved from New York to Minnesota, and I still go back to New York a lot to do readings.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I go there, I would stay with Robert Herschel and Donna Brooke, and their guest room just filled with Sherman's, you know, posters and images. And then they kept saying, like, great stories about Sherman, and I love his, you know, they also give me all his poetry books, and which I love. I think Sherman's poetry actually even better, you know, than his prose. I shouldn't really say it's compare apple and oranges, they're different, right? For me as a poet, I think, you know, because I know in poetry you can play so much more than prose, you know, prose, you know, it's kind of restrictive. It's a linear storytelling, but poetry can just do quantum leaps. You know? And so that's my favorite genre. And I asked Sherman, actually, and he admitted if he could make a living with poetry, he would just write poetry.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And so then last year, this year, in spring, I went to New York, and I stayed with Robert and Donna, of course, and... then we were just chatting around the table, and I said, you know, Sherman is great, but he's also very expensive, you know, and how can I get him to McAllister? And then I realized, suddenly it occurred to me, like, maybe if I bring both Robert Herschel and Sherman together, you know, might be a possibility, you know. Because I know they are very close. It's almost like father and son relationship. And Donna immediately sent an email to her Sherman. Said, would you, you know, go to McAllister and do a reading together with Robert? And he said, yes, with Bob, you know, I will go anywhere.
Oh, nice.
You know, and then Donna, then I told Donna about the price I could give them, and she immediately wrote to him, and he said, you know, money is not the issue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to read with Bob, it would be a pleasure.
Yeah.
So that's how the whole thing.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and so a few, then immediately, of course, the English department was extremely supportive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I made a proposal, you know, using Kretschmer funds,
mm-hmm.
And it was approved right away.
Awesome.
You know, and then the chain started, you know, linking, you know,
yeah.
one after another. So it was a lot, really a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's
you
good.
Know? I think Robert and Sherman, like, they're a great pair to read together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, unfortunately, I wasn't able to go. I really wish I had been able to see them.
Yeah, how did you miss that?
I have a class on Monday nights, so I missed that. And then I have a class at noon, so I missed their noon lunch reading as well. It was a bummer.
Well, you can excuse yourself, because this is like once-in-a-lifetime
yeah.
opportunity.
I should have.
I know.
What was your favorite part of the event? Or if you could just describe the event
briefly.
Everything
is really favorite. I made a banquet for them, for Sherman and Bob and
awesome.
Donna. And so a lot of English department members came, and my friends, some of my friends came. So it was a lot of fun.
Yeah,
you know,
that sounds really
cooking.
Great.
And that was really fun. And the new panel was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. That was
really,
a smaller group of just students, right?
Yeah, that's for students.
Cool.
And I asked them specifically about how to create community for poets and writers,
mm-hmm.
and you know, including for publishing,
because yeah.
their relationship is like so unique,
right?
And that's a great story, so I want them to share.
Yeah,
and they
that's
did.
Cool. Oh, perfect!
It was great.
Yeah,
and then reading, of course, it's just glorious.
Yeah, I heard a lot of really good things.
Yeah,
people said it was really surprisingly funny.
Yeah, they're both very funny.
Yeah,
in their own ways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so
cool.
So, all
right.
Yeah, well, that was a great background. Do you want to talk about anything else? Any classes you're teaching?
I'm teaching a food and poetry workshop. We make food. And, you know, using the food, you know, just to introduce, like, our environment and who we are. We are what we eat,
mm-hmm.
right? And the process of cooking. You know, selecting materials to cooking to eating is very similar to writing poetry.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And then the intro class this year, just really such a delight.
Yeah.
The students just make quantum leap progress.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun.
That's cool.
You know? And yeah, I love teaching. It keeps reminding me, like, that's why I'm here, to teach, you know.
Yeah.
Just such a pleasure.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, and I think that's also one of the reasons why, you know, that I keep thinking, like, why it's so, you know, like, in good times or dire times of economy, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, creative writing just keep rising. More and more people want to write.
Mm-hmm.
You know, working with students, it really made me realize, you know, we can do all we want, right? Science advances, you know, and you know, we can make all the money we want. We can have all the science we want. We can have all the luxury we want.
Mm.
But ultimately, after we satisfy our material needs, right?
Yeah.
Ultimately, the question is, you know, we have to ask, like, why are we here?
Yeah.
And that is the job of the poet and writers,
mm-hmm.
you know, to ask the meaning, to search for the meaning of life, why we are living, why we are here,
yeah.
who are we and why we are here.
Yeah.
So that's why I think, you know, creative writing, you know, it used to be the philosopher's job, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, creative writing, I think, has become part of that search,
mm-hmm.
you know, to also to express ourselves creatively,
mm-hmm.
you know, is also the ultimate, like, ultimate expression of being human,
mm-hmm.
right? And so people have a hunger for it, And it's our instinct, you know, as humans, you know, to ask who we are, why are we here, to express ourselves. Mm-hmm. And to write well, you have to be able to think well first, mm-hmm. right? And I really think usually people only talk about critical thinking, but critical thinking to me is embedded heavily in the creative thinking, mm-hmm. you know, and they are like two legs, right? You know, we can't just rely on one leg, mm-hmm. you know, and so in my writing, I always just try to get people to open many windows and doors, mm-hmm. how to think, how to see things, how to hear things, how to touch things, and how to taste things, you know, like a newborn, mm-hmm. right? And then many new worlds open up. Yeah. You know, it's a lot of fun, it's a lot of joy, mm-hmm. you know, and it should be.
Yeah.
You know, so it is a great joy.
All right.
To teach you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's great. Okay.
Welcome back.
Hello. Okay, so that was with Ping, professor of creative writing in the English department, about the Sherman Alexie event 2 weeks ago now, right?
Yep.
It's been a while.
And now we have actual content for you guys.
Look at that.
I know you're all excited about that.
I mean, if I were listening to this, I would have lowered my expectations by this point and then have been excited by that.
I'm excited.
Nice. I'm excited. We're all excited. And then hopefully next week we will start our series of introducing new faculty.
Yes. We talked about last week.
Yeah, we talked about that last week. So we're hoping to sit down with the vast swaths of new faculty that we have in the English department and maybe actually get to know some of them.
All 12 of them.
All 12. It's a lot of people.
It is. All right, so some more news coming up. Time to go to the food corner.
Oh, yeah.
Our favorite.
That's why we took 25 solid minutes of our first show just to talk
about
food.
It's an important topic to me and to you.
Everyone eats food.
That's true. You need food to live.
True.
If there wasn't food, we would all die.
That is truly deep.
Thanks.
You should write a poem.
I should. I shouldn't because I'm terrible at writing poetry.
Oh, well, okay. Never mind.
But in the food corner, mm-hmm. Treat Night is coming up tomorrow at 4:30,
we'll talk about that in a second. But as it does typically every week, so stop by the English department at 4:30 tomorrow.
But in two weeks,
this is red alert, guys, because I don't want you to be shocked when this happens, but Treat Night is moved to Friday.
It is. Well, it's our Halloween party on Friday.
It's like the Halloween treat night.
Extravaganza. Yes.
And I believe it's starting at the same time.
Yes, yeah, still at 4:30. Yes. Mm-hmm. But it's on Friday.
So yes, that.
So jot that down in your...
Wait, is that next Friday or is that the Friday after?
That's the Friday after.
Okay.
Yeah,
so it's Friday after. Two Fridays.
No, three. It's not this Friday, not next Friday, but the Friday after that.
What date is that?
The 30th.
Okay. There you go. It's the 30th, which removes all ambiguity from this conversation. The 30th of October, which is actually quite a nice coincidence because then the Halloween party is a lot closer to Halloween than it would have been otherwise.
Yes.
Whatever could be the reason for that, maybe we'll tell you after some music.
After the break. So, I don't know.
Just
get excited.
Stew on that. Think about what giant news
could possibly
move Treat Night of all things.
Something very exciting.
Very exciting. So think about that while we bring you some tunage.
Some tunage.
What do you want to start with?
Well, we're going to start with, since it's finally beautiful October, it's cold.
I love
it's
October.
Windy, it's dark.
Oh,
it's
God.
It's getting creepy. Halloween is ramping up.
Spook.
I mean, I've been ramping up since October 1st, but.
You've been ramping up your entire life.
That's true.
Since birth for That's Halloween, true. But fair enough.
So we're going to play the essential October/Halloween song, Red Red Hand by Nick Cave.
Red Red Hand.
It's very good.
It is very good.
It'll get you in the mood.
Murder. It's from an album called Murder Ballads.
So, yeah.
You know, case to that.
It was also on Peaky Blinders.
Yeah, it's actually the...
Every single episode.
It's like the sort of unofficial
theme
song.
They play it all the time.
Song.
No, it's the official.
Is it the official
Because it plays
song?
Over the
credits.
Like credits, yeah.
which that's a great British drama that's on Netflix. Peaky Blinders.
Killian
Murphy. It
sounds
kind of silly, but it's very good.
It is.
And serious. So watch that. That's my plug. I think they're filming the third season right now.
They are.
Not that I'm keeping up or
they
anything.
They are. They started last week or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, English.
English.
So yes. Enjoy yourselves.
Yes.
Microscopic cog. in his catastrophic plan, designed and directed by his red right hand.
decides to quit his job and head to New York City. This cowboy's running from himself. She's been living on the highest shelf. Oh.
Welcome back. You were just listening to Fur Coat Blues by the Jamestown Revival. And before that, it was Riptide.
That was
by
a special throw out to our good friend Ariana.
It was all for you.
It was all for you. We care about you.
Yeah. And before that, was Someday by Blanche. Before that was Red Right Hand by Nick Cave
and the Bad Seeds. The music video for Riptide is really weird. We've been discussing it. Odd it is. So you should check it out.
You should check it out. It's really weird. It doesn't make a lot of sense.
It watches like a bad student film because it's really literal a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And there's a really creepy woman. So check it out. In case you haven't seen it. So before the music break, we teased a little bit, and then I saw that Dalian sent out an email to every English major about what we were going to talk about.
But maybe people haven't checked their emails yet.
That's true. And to be fair, everyone probably already heard before that. But big news.
Marlin Watch
2015 paying off today because...
In a big way.
Guess who won the Man Booker Prize?
It's Marlon James.
What?
He won.
What? Yeah. So the Man Booker Prize is one of the most prestigious awards for novels in the entire world. So it's pretty intense.
The BBC broadcast was like at 3:30 our time.
Yeah, so it was super fun up in the English department on second floor Old Main. Every TV and computer monitor was tuned to the live broadcast, and everyone was watching. There was a delay, so the room I was in was still on the man giving the speech before the announcement when people were cheering in another room. So I was like, I wonder Marlon won, perhaps.
He did.
But yes, for his novel, A Brief History of Seven Killings, which is probably pretty good. I haven't read it.
Probably. It's 700 pages long.
I own it. I will read it one day.
I feel like many 700-page books have to be good, right?
That's just statistically likely. Yeah.
I mean, who's going to publish a 700-page book that isn't good?
I would.
I know you would, but that's why you're not a publisher.
Okay. Wow. Feeling a little attacked now. So...
He made a speech.
Which was... Okay, well, it was actually kind of funny because on the live broadcast, he was talking, you know, giving a speech as people do, and then suddenly it, like, the audio cut out and the BBC announcer came in, but she was standing in front of Marlon, so you could see that he was still talking and giving a speech, but she was like, and that has been Marlon James, thanks for watching, bye, and then they cut off. So if you want to see the full speech, I'm sure that the BBC website will have that up soon.
Probably in the next couple hours.
Yeah,
tomorrow for sure.
It's not up yet, but
soon.
Or at least I was not able to find it yet. Perhaps more competent people could find it.
Well, already. I mean, it's only been like an hour.
Yeah. But he, you know, talked about his life, his literary influences.
Yes.
How his father influenced his literary career. How they would have Shakespeare duels where they would try to have, like, recite a longer soliloquy than the other person.
Which is pretty hardcore.
That's, you know, that's a literary background there. But then he also talked about how Bob Marley and Peter Tosh were influences because they were the first people to make him realize, quote, realize that the voice coming out of our mouths was a legitimate voice for fiction, as in people from Jamaica. And he's actually the first person from Jamaica to win the Man Booker Prize. So that's cool. Yeah. Very cool.
That is cool.
Yeah. Is it just the English department? I mean, it's like the whole college is having a big event on the 28th. It's hosted by the English department,
but I mean, anybody can come.
Yeah.
You have to RSVP.
Yeah, so there's like this big, giant special event and two Wednesdays from now.
On the 28th.
Which is why Treat Night is pushed to
usually
Friday.
When Treat Night is. There's a big party in Janet Wallace.
A big old party.
Is it at 4:30?
Let me check. Okay, yes. It starts at 4:30. It's 4:30 to 6. Remarks are at 5. I think President Brian Rosenberg is speaking. Probably. Dalian English is speaking, who's the chair of the English department. It'll RSVP to that email because
it'll be
this
fun.
Is kind of a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
You'll get to feel very cool.
You'll,
touched by greatness.
Maybe you'll even learn how to write well. Just by being
just
there.
By osmosis.
Yeah, that's how it works, right?
That's the goal. Yeah.
I assume that's how it works, and I'm assuming that I can write now.
Yeah,
because
definitely. Work on that campus murder mystery.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. That is my NaNoWriMo.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I should plan that.
You should.
At some point.
Should. Running out of time.
Oh, God. Oh, God. But anyway, yeah, so that was the big news in the department today.
Yes, that's very exciting. It will probably be the big news in the department for
a while.
A week to come or more.
A vast honor. Very exciting for him. Yeah. So that's about all we have to say about it, though. It's like an awards ceremony.
There will be more.
There will be later. More. Watching his speech would obviously be a cool thing to do.
If we tried to find it. Yeah. It'll be up.
Yeah. Yeah. Man Booker.
Very cool.
Novels. Awards. Winning.
Winning.
Harlan James did.
He did. And I'm excited about it.
Me too. Mm-hmm. Me too. Yeah.
So, we segue into some music.
Did you learn how to say the word segue?
I said that on purpose, just for you.
Aww.
But I know that the correct way to pronounce it is segue.
It's not.
That's how it's spelled.
Not correct.
That's how it's spelled.
Do you have trouble with a lot of French-derived words?
Well, I don't speak French, so.
I thought you were fluent.
I'm not.
I mean, I'm fluent.
Not as well as you.
I'm fluent and you speak about as well as I do.
Would you like to demonstrate your French for our audience?
I don't like showing off.
I think you should. You do. You do.
I mean, I know how to say maybe in French.
Let's hear it.
Peut-être.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was good.
That was my answer to every question I was asked in French because, you know, then I wouldn't have to, like, say anything because they'd be like, how was your day? And then I would say, maybe. I would realize that I was terrible at French and stop talking.
That's good.
Me. Yeah. You know, whatever works. Whatever works.
Whatever works.
Mm.
And on that note,
perhaps we'll go into... Segue into some music.
I'm going to play a song from the show The Nick, which I haven't actually seen, but it's got a good soundtrack.
Got to be honest, I've never even heard of that. Is that recent?
Yes, it's out now. I think the second season is coming out. It's a period piece. It's about, like, doctors. I don't know.
Oh.
I don't know a lot about the actual show, but I like the soundtrack.
Okay. That's all that matters.
Yeah. I've heard it's good.
For the radio.
I've been meaning to watch it, but I haven't actually seen it.
One of these days. So, potentially check that one out.
Yes.
We don't know if we can
confidently recommend it. I'll get back to you at some point.
For all of our listeners
yes.
who are fascinated by our discussion of TV shows. That's our roots, though.
Yeah, I mean, our long-term fans know all about it.
Yeah, all of you who were listening, what was that, 3 semesters ago to our 10 o'clock in the morning Saturday show where we talked about television, will know and appreciate our current references.
Mm-hmm.
So, Ella's dad, maybe. My dad.
Ariana.
Oh, yeah, Ariana. We've got 3 fans.
Yeah. And that's it?
And they're obligated. So it's sad.
It is sad.
But it's okay. It's okay.
It is.
All right. So we are segueing into music.
Now you're saying it.
I know. I'm doing it for you.
Oh. So nice in here.
This is so beautiful. What a
beautiful
supportive
moment.
Environment.
Wow.
Mm.
Wow.
Okay.
But here you go. Cliff Martinez. Thank you.
Of your sin left me no choice but to stay.
Welcome back. You're just listening to, what were you just listening to? Sweet Tangerine by The Hush Sound. Before that was Get Miles by Gomez. Before that was Son of Placenta Previa by Cliff Martinez, which is a very strange name for a song.
But it is, but it's like a soundtrack thing.
Yeah.
They all have weird names.
That's true. They do. And you are listening to 91.7 FM WMCN McAllister College Radio.
That's amazing.
St. Paul, Minnesota. You're supposed to say.
Yes.
Let me down.
I'm sorry.
I left it open for you.
I didn't know we were doing a teamwork thing there.
I'm not good at teamwork.
Oh, no. We can practice this.
We just had a teamwork high five like an hour ago.
I'm so sorry. I feel really bad.
You let me down.
I could read one word of this PSA and then you can read the next word.
I can't read it from over here, that's not going to work.
Well, you're letting me down now, aren't you?
Fine.
Okay.
Just read it.
Okay. I'm going to let you guys know about Max Slam's October Slam. Come share your new work, old work, weird work, all the work in either the open mic or the slam. The open mic will directly precede the slam, and all are welcome to perform. For slammers, you will need 2 self-written poems of less than 3 minutes each, no props, costumes, or musical accompaniments. The top 3 slammers from Mac who haven't already qualified will qualify for the Grand Slam. The feature poet is Lauren Whitehead, a writer and educator who has showcased and performed her work in various venues around the country. It doesn't have a date. It's in October sometime, apparently. You know, you guys can look it up if you're interested.
Yeah. You probably got an email about it.
You probably got an email. You're probably on the Max Slams list.
Everybody is. I am.
I'm not. Oh, no.
I never go to any of them, but I'm on the list.
They're all very good, typically. I occasionally go to them. In my free time.
Your free time.
That's
what
got
free
weird.
Time?
I don't know.
That's ridiculous.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry That'd for using silly. That phrase. That was a lie. Okay. So, we started last episode of this show. That's not the word to use. Broadcast? The previous broadcast. Last Tuesday. We started a thing where we did some host recommendations of books.
We did.
Which, again, kind of goes back to the comical nature of talking about free time, as if you have free time to read books. But if you do, and you're not reading Marlon James, A Brief History of Seven Killings, which you should be, then
we can read another book.
Other recommendations for you.
For example,
this one's kind of spooky because we're getting in the spirit of Halloween already, even though it's early October, because Halloween is the entire month of October.
It's a month-long affair.
Halloween's an emotion.
It's a couple-month affair. I mean, I keep it going in November. Yeah. You know? I'm still feeling it.
Halloween is all the time.
All day, every day.
We are recommending a zombie apocalypse series of books called, well, what? It's like the News
Flesh
Trilogy.
It's the News Flesh Trilogy, yeah.
By Mira Grant.
Yes. And the first book is called Feed.
Mm-hmm. And then the other ones are Deadline and Blackout. Mm-hmm. But they're quite good.
They're very good.
And you talked a little bit about how you were interested in the fact that it explores...
Yes.
Not only... I don't know if you want to, like, take over there.
But you can just explain my point for me.
I can explain your point for you. So Ella was interested in the fact that it explores a post-apocalyptic world, but how society restructures after a cataclysmic event. It's not just focused on the chaos ensuing after the event, but how everyone gets back together.
Thanks for that.
You're welcome.
But also, I like that the fact that it's not restructured as like most post-apocalyptic things, they like restructure as some horrifying totalitarian
dystopian government
type deal, but this they restructure as semi-normal. I mean, there's still...
Yeah, I mean, there's restrictions. Because the conceit of the whole thing is that there are still zombies
wandering around. So
there's, like, an outbreak of a virus that... she actually goes really, like, in-depth about the science of it.
Yeah, which is...
So it's, like, it's very... Cool. It's kind of, like, more on the hard side of science fiction. So there's, like, a reason why this virus happened, et cetera, et cetera, that you'll get if you read them. But
I've forgotten, actually.
Anyway, so the conceit is that there are still, like, zombies wandering around in small towns and places. And so, like, driving on the highway is dangerous. There's blood tests everywhere to make sure that you don't have the virus.
Yeah, you have to go through, like, horrible, like, showers.
Yeah,
to,
like,
decontaminate yourself. And so everybody's hair is, like, white.
Yeah, because they all get bleached all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not good.
Doesn't sound fun. No.
But yeah, so that was an interruption of your point, I think. What were we talking about?
I think I finished my point, didn't I?
You finished your point? Okay. Cool.
I think so.
So, like, one of the main thing in the first book is that our two protagonists, brother and sister, are following a political campaign. So that kind of gives you, like, there's still elections.
Mm-hmm.
There's still democracy, senators, presidents.
There's a lot of, like, journalism stuff if you're into that.
Yeah, yeah. If you're a journalism nerd, a biology nerd, science fiction nerd, a zombie fiction nerd. There's something for everyone. If you don't like the CDC, because they're kind of evil in this.
If you have strong feelings about
the CDC.
And that's
the Center for Disease Control, not the Career Development Center. The Career Development Center at McAllister is not mentioned in these novels.
Which is strange.
I think it should be. I make sure to mention it in all of my work.
I know. That's why you don't have any.
Okay. Wow. Okay. I didn't need that attitude from you. Right now, but I got it.
It just happened.
Yeah, so we'll leave you with that. The first book, again, was called Feed by Mira Grant, if you want to check that out. Just in time for Halloween, so you can, like, finish them by the 31st, maybe.
Mm-hmm. They're not that long.
And they're an easy read. A fun read. Get you in the spirit.
I feel like an easy read denotes...
It has a bad connotation.
Yeah.
It's...
Whatever.
Enjoyable.
It is.
A bit of a thriller, so it keeps you
on your toes.
It's a page turner. That's what I call it.
There you go. Keeps you on the edge of your seat. Hilarious is not the word I would have chosen.
I know. We were just learning about jacket copy, though, in one of my classes, and that was one of the overused words that people need to stop doing.
Yeah.
You do see it a lot.
Yeah.
So, that was a great show. Talked about Sherman Alexie, Marlon James. Our recommendations.
Halloween party.
I feel like we've done good work.
We have.
We've done good
for
work
the world.
For
the English department.
That's really what we do everything for, ultimately.
The English department?
Everything in my life is for the English department.
I believe it.
At the end of the day.
Yeah. What about at the beginning of the day?
I'm not awake.
Ah.
I don't like mornings.
Yeah.
We talked about getting, like, little jingles to start and end our sections of our radio show, and we didn't do it.
Maybe next week. Which we say every week.
Well, like on our last broadcast, we'll be like graduating seniors, and we'll be like, maybe next week we'll get it done.
Yep.
When we're 80.
Yeah.
Maybe next week.
Maybe next week.
Oh, boy.
The procrastinator's life.
I am not a procrastinator, and I'm offended that you would even imply that about me right now.
I think we should probably just end our show so that our audience doesn't have to listen to these lies.
Okay. That's fair enough.
So we'll see you next week.
We will. Next Tuesday at
5. Or you'll hear us next week.
Yeah,
we're not won't see you.
Yeah, we actually have a monitor in here. Which we can see everyone listening.
Yeah.
We're living in a dystopia.
Whoa.
That's a lie.
Whoa. It is a lie.
Or is it?
It's...
No, you don't know what to think.
We're going to go.
Okay. Sorry.
So, my see bad. You all here... Whatever.
What? Here... You'll hear us all next week.
Goodbye.
We should work on our closing lines.
We really do.
Stay classy, San Diego. That's the wrong city.
It is.
Okay.